Members of the House, it is a great privilege to be able to present to the House the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend and Right Honorable Donald Coggan, Your Grace.
Mr. President of the House of Deputies, Mr. Mayor, and my dear friends who are members of this House, and those who are also, like myself, guests today, thank you very much for the warmth of your welcome. I took a part yesterday in listening to a small part of that memorable debate from the gallery up there for a season, then below this morning. And I realize full well that I come to you at a very critical time in your deliberations. The big decision taken yesterday on the ordination of women, and now you will soon be launched into a very important debate on liturgy and other matters. But may I say how profoundly thankful I am for the spirit in which that debate was conducted yesterday, a spirit of love and courtesy and prayer. The decisions now have been made on this matter, which has been troubling all of us for so long. And I have no doubt that tensions will persist and wounds will endure. No one other than someone whose feet were not fairly firmly grounded can think other than that. And I wonder if I may this morning just to say a word about those two things, tension and wounds. I said to someone this morning, how is everybody? And he said, just a bit wrung out. And I can understand that so well after the similar debates we've had in England on these matters. Let me then say a word about tension. Tension that can result in bitterness and in division and in threatening, or tension that can result in the mercy of God, in power and beauty, and let me say it, in music. For if you take a stringed instrument, the music only comes so long as the strings are taut, and it is through the tension that the music comes. I have a feeling, or perhaps I should say a belief, a deep belief, that out of this long debate, which reached its climax yesterday, music will come and good will come. And if you don't see how that can be, I would say to you, nor do I, because there was a big division here. But I believe God sees how that can be. And if we go forward in love, as I know you will do, then I think something of a new revelation may well await us. But our two unchanging points must be love of the brethren, and the word brethren, I take it, embraces sisters, love of the brethren and the unity of the church. Hold to these two things tenaciously, and out of the tension of our debates and our differences, the music will come. That's the first word I've had so much on my mind as I have thought these previous days and weeks of coming to address you this morning. And the other word was the word wound, for I realize very well that I speak to some wounded people this morning. The question is, what will you do with your wound, isn't it? You could, of course, let it fester, but that you will not do. And you could let it become your strength. That, I believe, you will do. I was addressing a gathering of clergy and laity the day before yesterday in Long Island, and we were looking at that strange prophecy of Hosea. There was a man with a wound, if ever there was one. A wound that came out of the tragedy of his own home life and the birth of illegitimate children through his unfaithful wife, Gomer. But as one great commentator has said, the strength of Hosea was precisely in his wound, because he saw through the breakup of his marriage and his home right into the heart of God, as practically no other of the ancient prophets ever saw. And so what must have seemed to him in his human blindness an unrelieved tragedy, one great minus, became in the mercy of God a plus. Not a negative, but a positive. But a plus is always in the shape of a cross. And I want to say to my brothers and sisters, to whom the result of the debate went just the way they hoped and quite honestly prayed it would not, I want to say to you, my sympathies are with you, but I believe you will see in the coming years, through love of the brethren and through your passion for the unity of the church, you will see what seemed to you an unadulterated minus made into a plus by the mercy of God and your own preparedness to suffer. And then I think of the great Jerusalem quadrilateral. We talk of the Lambeth quadrilateral, but there was a quadrilateral a few years before that at Jerusalem. They continued steadfastly in the apostolic teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, and in the prayers. And that second item in the Jerusalem quadrilateral, the fellowship, was simply a continuation and a burgeoning out of that fellowship created by our Lord in the days of his flesh. And it was open enough, and by Jove, the tensions were great. It was open enough to take in, though with great hesitancy, that stormy petrel from Tarsus, and to make him one with them. And to stomach the revolt from his initial conservatism, which enabled Peter to see that he should call nothing unclean, but welcome even the Gentiles in. This was miracle, but this is what happens when people poles apart have a deep and burning love for their Lord. This it is which creates, out of the minus of division, the costly cross-like plus. Loyalty to him, love for one another, unity in the church. And will you suffer a word of warning from one who represents a church which hasn't been as bold as you have in this matter of the ordination of women, but has shown a typical British hesitancy? Oh dear, is that going to go back home, I wonder? Will you suffer a word of warning about this matter? If any of you reach the point where you cannot put your arms round the person who you think voted wrongly yesterday and say, my dear brother or sister, I differ from you, I differed from you yesterday, but I love you dearly in Christ, then at that point a deep penitence is called for. And if you cannot say, together we will go out to make new Christians, to bring in new disciples, then our Father below, as C.S. Lewis used to call the devil, is winning a victory. And that, you agree with me, just must not and shall not happen.